Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from Revelation chapter 7. In our text, the Apostle John has a vision of the saints in heaven, a vast multitude, people from every nation. He sees them wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, and he hears them crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ." How wonderful John's vision of the saints in heaven is. Or is it so wonderful? We can almost hear someone saying, "Wait a minute. If being a saint in heaven means wearing a white robe, holding a palm branch, and saying salvation belongs to our God forever and ever, what's so great about that? That's not much better than the usual cartoon image of people in heaven portraying them as sitting on a cloud, holding plucking harps, and clothed in white gowns." The same person would probably also ask, "Does this vision do any good for people here on earth? Or is this just an example of Christianity being, as some would describe it, pie-in-the-sky wishful thinking?" In examining John's vision of the saints in heaven, then, we take up two questions. First, what does this vision tell us about being a saint in heaven? And second, how does this vision benefit people here on earth? With regard to the first question, we remember that John in Revelation uses symbolic language. In our text, what he is describing, the beauties and glories of heaven, are beyond human language, are beyond our comprehension. So he uses symbolic language to give us at least an impression of what the heavenly splendors are. In John's vision, the saints are holding palm branches, symbols of salvation and victory. They are wearing white robes. This symbolizes that they are perfectly clean, pure, holy. Why are they so? Because, as our text says, they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And although the Lamb's blood is red, it whitens their robes. They had faith in Jesus. They relied on his redeeming work, and through faith appropriated his bloody self-sacrifice for themselves. Now it is true that here on earth we are clean in God's sight, because we have forgiveness of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose from the dead. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here on earth, we are also pure, holy in God's sight because of our new person or self created in us at our conversion by God. Nevertheless, this side of the grave, a remnant of our old, original, sinful nature still clings to us. This remnant, which Scripture calls the flesh. The flesh is thoroughly sinful, sinful from the transgression of Adam and Eve, sinful from its own wicked desires, which leads to its own evil thoughts, words, and deeds. We daily sin and daily need forgiveness. The believers or saints in heaven, however, are totally holy. The flesh no longer clings to them. They no longer sin. To be perfectly pure, never sinning. How wonderful. Being totally holy, the saints in heaven, as our text says, serve God continually. This service includes singing praise to God, such as, "Salvation belongs to our God." But the activity of the saints in heaven is not limited to this kind of praise and adoration. The word in our text which denotes their activity or their service is the word Paul uses in Romans to describe the service we are to perform here on earth in order to accomplish the Lord's work. So the saints in heaven are involved in a multitude of activities, some beyond our comprehension. What we do imperfectly here on earth, they do perfectly in heaven, in a far greater manner. In heaven, no weakness hinders them. No disturbance interrupts them. One source of their joy is this service which they render to the Lord. Another source of their joy is the intimate fellowship which they have with God. They are continually in His presence, beholding His splendor. His glory enfolds them. God is with them in visible form, in the same manner as if He was living in the same house or tent with them. How wonderful. Further, the saints in heaven no longer experience the effects of sin. They have come out of the great tribulation. They have, by God's grace and power, survived all the sufferings and persecutions and trials and tribulations Christians go through in this evil world. And by God's grace and power, they have remained faithful to the end. And now they are enjoying the ultimate liberation of heaven. Never again will they endure any discomfort or pain or sorrow. Not only that, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will continually shepherd His sheep, the saints in heaven. He will tend them with great care. He will, as our text says, lead them to springs of living water. Christ will lead the saints to ever new delights. He will show them one new exciting vista after another. There is absolutely no boredom in heaven. Christ constantly will be unfolding for the saints in glory tremendous surprises, unimagined joys. Through symbolic language, John conveys to us the truth that the saints in heaven have total release from all evil and perfect fullness of joy in the presence of God. Is not then his vision described in our text wonderful? John's vision is wonderful also in the effect that it has on people here on earth. Taking up the second question posed earlier, how does this vision benefit people here on earth? We see that the answers are clear. This vision brings people comfort, and unlike any other comfort. We use this vision, this portion of God's word, to console those who otherwise would be unconsolable. We do this without hesitation, without apology, because John's vision is presenting to us reality. It is based on fact. A patient terminally ill with cancer may be given certain medications and drugs to reduce his pain, but no medication can take away his disease. The words, cheer up, you're going to get better, have a hollow ring to them. Simply ignoring his situation and talking about baseball or the weather will not bring him relief. But showing him this portion of Scripture, which promises him an end to all grief and pain, and holds before him the bliss of heaven, brings him genuine encouragement. He will see that the sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing to the glories that await us in heaven. The person in a wheelchair in the nursing home, who feels that her property and possessions have been taken from her, who feels that she has been abandoned by her family and friends, will receive true comfort from John's vision. It shows her that life here on earth is not the ultimate experience, but that a far better life awaits her, in which she will never be alone, in which she will constantly enjoy God's gifts. John's vision also benefits us and other believers on earth, because it urges us to keep on believing in Jesus. Despite harassment and mockery from this evil world and an increase of wickedness in this sinful age, we see that we are on the winning side, that victory and heaven awaits us by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This vision, therefore, encourages us to live for the Lord, to live our faith. When believers show their faith in their lives, others around them benefit, both unbelievers and believers. In living the Christian life by God's grace and power, we think, talk, and act to God's glory and for the good of others. Specifically, brothers in the ministry or soon to be in the ministry. This vision gives us encouragement in our work as pastors, in our ministry of word and sacrament. What an honor it is to be used by the Lord for this type of service. What an awesome task it is to which we have been called. Our work has everlasting consequences. We are ministering to people for their never-ending benefit. God uses us to bring people to faith and to nurture and preserve them in that faith. Due in part to our ministry, which will be blessed by the Lord, people will be entering heaven, where they will enjoy forevermore perfect happiness and peace. We will be eager then to do our best in our training to be pastors and in our work as ministers of word and sacrament. Do our best by God's grace and power. That God will bless our work, that our ministry will have positive results, is implied by verse 9 of our text. John sees in heaven a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. John's vision is indeed wonderful, since it tells us about the blessed existence of the saints in heaven, which description also benefits us. May this vision keep on giving us strong comfort and encouragement in our Christian life and faith as we live for the Lord now and look forward to the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen.